Southeastern Baptist Seminary Chapel Service, Tuesday, April the 26th, 1988. Our speaker today is Dr. Delos Miles, Professor of Evangelism.
Dr. Miles has given me the privilege this morning of reminding you that the Brahms Requiem will be performed tonight at 8 o'clock in this chapel with a professional orchestra and the seminary choir. You're invited to come and bring your friends to this free concert.
Let us hear and heed the word of God. First, as it is written in the Old Testament, in 1 Kings, chapter 22, beginning with verse 13. 1 Kings, chapter 22, beginning with verse 13. And then our New Testament lesson comes from Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. And the messenger who went to summon Micaiah said to him, "Behold, the words of the prophets with one accord are favorable to the king. Let your word be like the word of one of them and speak favorably." But Micaiah said, "As the Lord lives, what the Lord says to me, that I will speak." And when he had come to the king said to him, "Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear?" And he answered him, "Go up and triumph. The Lord will give it into the hand of the king." But the king said to him, "How many times shall I adjure you that you speak to me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" And he said, "I saw all Israel scattered upon the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, 'These have no master. Let each return to his home in peace.' And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, 'Did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil?' And Micaiah said, 'Therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing beside him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, Who will entice Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said one thing, and another said another. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord, saying, 'I will entice him.' And the Lord said to him, 'By what means?' And he said, 'I will go forth and will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets.' And he said, 'You are to entice him, and you shall succeed. Go forth and do so. Now, therefore, behold, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these your prophets. The Lord has spoken evil concerning you.' Then Zedekiah, the son of Chenanah, came near and struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, 'How did the spirit of the Lord go from me to speak to you?' And Micaiah said, 'Because you shall see on that day when you go into an inner chamber to hide yourself.' And the king of Israel said, 'Seize Micaiah and take him back to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, Thus says the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with scant fare of bread and water until I come in peace.' And Micaiah said, 'If you return in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me.' And he said, 'Hear all you peoples.'" And then this word from the New Testament: "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every joint with which it is supplied, when each part is working properly, makes bodily growth and upbuilds itself in love." Let us turn, please, to hymn number 389 and stand together as we sing. 389. Thank you. Please be seated. Let us pray. O God of the universe, you who brought order out of primeval chaos through the power of your spoken word, speak to us through your written word this day, to the end that our darkness will be driven away by the light of your truth, and that we shall see more clearly the way in which you would have us to journey. In the name of him who is the light of the world, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. This past February, Henry Roth a 49-year-old Jew of Raleigh, wrote a letter to the editor of the News and Observer equating Zionism with racism under the false name of Lev Bronstein. Hank Roth spoke out in his letter against Israel's brutality toward the Palestinians. His explanation for using a false name was, "I used an alias because when a Jew equates Zionism with racism, it is as if he has committed an act of treason. He is a traitor. On this particular issue, emotion rather than reason prevails, and I knew I would lose some friends." Without excusing Hank Roth's use of a false name to write his first letter expressing outrage over Israel's brutality against Palestinians, and even apart from the stated issues in Roth's letter, I wonder if you would agree with me that the Lev Bronstein letter is a sign of the times in which we live. Hank Roth isn't merely one isolated Jew living in North Carolina's Triangle area who was afraid to speak the truth as he saw it. Nor is the fear of telling the truth by any means limited to current Judaism. I can't help but wonder how many Hank Roths there are in Judaism, in America, and indeed in the Southern Baptist Convention today. You and I are living in a time when persons are more accustomed to lying and covering up the truth than to telling the truth, in religion, in business, and in government. While I shall not go so far as the Cretan prophet said of his people and say that Americans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons, I agree with Hank Roth's statement that on some issues, emotion rather than reason prevails today. If you and I speak the truth as we perceive it on certain issues today, we shall lose some friends. We shall be deemed as traitors by some, and yes, let us admit it, we shall make some enemies. Nevertheless, we are admonished in Ephesians 4:15, rather speaking the truth in love. Now, if ever it is needed, is the time when our conscience should come out of hiding. From somewhere, I recall a saying by someone to the effect that the hottest places in hell are reserved for those who in a time of crisis seek to maintain their neutrality. So what if Hank Roth did not act like a 24-karat hero? Can we not celebrate his standing up and speaking out on the human rights of Palestinians as well as Israelis? Is that not one of the things meant by the phrase speaking the truth in love? B.F. Westcott tells us that the term truth in Ephesians 4:15 is not intellectual only, but moral, expressed through our whole being in character and action. Therefore, speaking the truth means more than speaking. It also means apprehending the truth, living by the truth, and being true not only in speech, but even more in one's whole inward disposition. What then does it mean to speak the truth in love? It certainly means moral courage wrapped up in a human being, like Pastor Kodge Munk of Denmark. When Hitler annexed Denmark in the 1940s, Munk was a spiritual dynamo who generated resistance against the Nazis. He said to his fellow pastors in those turbulent days, "We stand as a temple of the Holy God. All others have their obligations to this or that, We alone have our obligation to the truth. Monk also said, when justice or injustice is at stake, we must never ask whether it is worth it, for then the devil always wins. On these issues, it is always worthwhile to fight. This brave pastor made the telling statement, what we as a church lack, L-A-C-K, is a holy rage. The Knoxes, in January of 1944, dragged Pastor Monk out into a field and riddled his body with bullets. Do we have that holy rage which Pastor Monk said was lacking in the church of the 1940s? Where is our blazing anger against the injustices of our time? Where are the true prophets of God who will speak out against the Ahabs of the state and the Diotrephes of the church today? Who among us will cry out, woe to those who are at ease in Zion? Where are our prophets and prophetesses who will be angry and sin not as they tell forth the word of God for these times that try our souls? All of God's servants should speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Remember Ananias and Sapphira in the apostolic church? Ananias and Sapphira are examples of Christians who did not tell the whole truth. The scripture tells us in Acts 5 that when this husband and wife team fell down and died after lying to God in the church, great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard these things. Nowadays, I get the impression from some of my fellow Baptists that they fear the truth more than they fear the lie. Their preference for doing God's business in executive sessions, behind closed doors, with the press and others excluded, lead me to that conclusion. Brothers and sisters, we don't need to fear the truth. The truth is our friend, perhaps the best friend we shall ever have. Jesus himself is the truth. Is that not one of his great I am sayings? I am the truth. We should speak the truth because it is the truth incarnated in Jesus Christ which makes us free. In John 8:32, Jesus says, you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. A bit later in John 8:36, Jesus says, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. The truth liberates us from bondage to sin and to legalism and to all other masters except our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, let us welcome all truth with open arms, even if it causes us great pain. Indeed, even if it should cost us our very lives, truth is worth living by and worth dying for. Why is it so important that we speak the truth? Because according to Ephesians 5, 3 through 14, truth is light, and light exposes darkness. Evil deeds are symbolized by darkness in Ephesians 5 and elsewhere in Scripture. When we speak the truth, we walk as children of light and produce the fruit of light, which is found in all that is good and right and true. Speaking the truth is antithetical to all anti-intellectualism and to all pseudo-intellectualism. We should speak the truth because it enhances our spiritual growth and moves us toward the spiritual maturity which is in Christ. The opposite of speaking the truth in Ephesians 4:15 is the immaturity and incompleteness and the instability and gullibility of Ephesians 4:14. Speaking the truth is necessary to spiritual growth and development. We should speak the truth because truth is necessary to the proper functioning of any society. Truth may well be as necessary to human existence as food, water, shelter, clothing, and safety. Speaking the truth is moral outrage, moral courage, clothed with our own skin, living and breathing and walking and working in our bodies. Without this incarnation of truth, we plead guilty to an indecent exposure of our minds. But let us not overlook the admonition to speak the truth with the accent upon Christ-like love. Paul's phrase, in love, is frequent and almost like the phrase, in Christ. Indeed, three times in Ephesians 4, we meet the phrase, in love. In verse 2, forbearing one another in love. In verse 15, speaking the truth in love. In verse 16, upbuilds itself in love. If we go on to Ephesians 5:2, we hear the exhortation, walk in love. If we go back to Ephesians 1, we read in verse 5, he destined us in love. Moreover, in verse 6 of Ephesians 1, we meet the similar phrase, in the beloved, a reference to Jesus Christ, the Son of God's love. I cannot escape the conclusion that when Paul tells us to speak the truth in love, he is telling us to speak the truth like Jesus did. Truth often wears the badge of suffering love. If we are rooted and grounded in love, as Paul prayed in Ephesians 3:17, we shall surely speak the truth in love. If the love of Christ controls us, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:14, we will speak the truth in love. If we speak the truth in love, we shall have to be concerned with orthopraxy as well as with orthodoxy. According to Paul in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, agape love is a more excellent way. It gives up childish ways. Furthermore, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. The word of the Lord for us today calls us to choose between speaking lies or speaking the truth in love to the Ahabs of the state and the Diotrephes of the church. Will we be false prophets like Zedekiah and the 400 court prophets of Israel? Or shall we be true prophets like Micaiah, the son of Imlah, like Paul of Tarsus, and like Jesus of Nazareth? There is no maturity and no stability for us individually or corporately apart from speaking the truth in love, as Paul admonishes in Ephesians 4:15. Unless and until we speak the truth in love, we shall continue to be like children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Indeed, unless and until we speak the truth in love, we shall be subject to the cunning of men and to their craftiness in deceitful wiles. The gospel speaks an eternal no to everyone who distorts the truth. Furthermore, if we have more of the truth of God on our lips than we have of the grace of God in our hearts, we may do damage to the cause of Christ. Let us pray. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make us perfect in every good work to do his will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight.